scripture lesson for our time of meditation today comes from the book of Psalms, also called the Psalter. Psalm 139, the first 12 verses of that psalm, and then verses 23 and 24. And just remember that this is an ancient hymnal. This is a collection of ancient poems, some dating back to 1000 B.C., to the time of King David. That's 3,000 years ago, and they still speak amazing words to us, and they encapsulate the very essence of our heart. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, I've got news for you today, news that may come as a surprise to some of you. I am here to report to you this morning that summer is officially over. Summer's over, folks. Yes, yes. Welcome to the fall. I know it's hard. I didn't believe it either. I did not believe it either. And then I realized that tomorrow, July 10th, I will find myself in the carpool line as Molly begins her new school year. Christmas is on the way. It's coming, folks. Okay. Did you have a good summer? Did you have a really good summer? Okay, good, good. What did you do? Do you remember, and I said, use the word essay at another service, people were like, essay? What? No. Do you remember those writing assignments that we had when we were younger and in school, the first day back to school, and the teacher said, get out a piece of paper and tell me what you did about your summer. Tell me about your summer. And I was lambasting the English teachers of my youth. And lo and behold, there's an English teacher at church this morning. I love those essays. I just want to tell you that right now. I love those essays. Anyway, when you write those essays, you have to think back. Think hard. What did you write? Well, I know it was a good thing for my kids growing up. Because what they did every year, they just would get out the report they did from the year before. And they would initial it and resubmit it. Because Minix always do the same thing. A week at the beach. Home for a week. Week in the mountains. School starts. That's it. So our summer's over. And anyway, what did you do on your summer vacation? Okay, think that through. Anyway, when I was at the beach, this was a couple weeks ago, and then this past week in the mountains, I did exactly what I wanted to do, what I set out to do. I just sat at times. I read at times. I walked at times. I played at times. I pondered the complexities of my life and just took in the universe. That's what I did. That's what I wanted to do. Now, I don't know if it's been your experience, but it's always, every single time, been my experience that the ocean, the mountains are good places to be if you want to do that. If you want to ponder that which sustains your life, that which undergirds all that is, that's a good place to do it. That's a good place. Looking out across the ocean, looking out across a mountain range, that is perfect. It's mystical. It's ethereal. You know, maybe it's the vastness. Maybe it's the tranquility. Maybe it's the primalness of it all. At 9:45, I was told that primalness is not a word. It is now, okay? If it's not, it is now. Primalness, you know. But I've got to figure it out. It's not just that. It's more than that. It is a connectedness. Connectedness. You get a sense of connectedness that the ocean and the mountains convey to you in some basic form just by their presence. Connectedness. Are you connected? Do you feel connected? When I leave the coast or the mountains after a week, I feel regenerated. It's different than I feel if I go to an amusement park or sightseeing or something. Those are fun and those are good, but it's different. It's a different feeling when you get humbled by the universe. Wow, the vastness. I felt more connected to life, more connected to the world, the universe, sacredness than I have in a while. These past few weeks. That's a good feeling. Do you know the best-selling author Anne Lamott? Some of you do because I quote her all the time. But anyway, these were words that she wrote to new graduates in one of her books. New graduates. She said, "I bet I'm beginning to make some parents nervous. About to make a pitch for you to follow your creative dreams. When what parents want is for their children to do well in their field, to make them look good, and maybe also to assemble a tasteful fortune. But that's not your problem. Your problem is how you're going to spend this one odd and precious life you have been issued. Whether you're going to live it trying to look good and creating the illusion that you have power over people and circumstances, or whether you're going to taste it, enjoy it, and find out the truth about who you are." To me, what Lamont is saying is what we already know to be true, but we are afraid to embrace. We know that in order to connect, we're going to be willing to surrender something, surrender a certain level of control to something beyond ourselves. You know, we give in order to receive. The last shall be first. First shall be last. You have to give your life away to receive it. Huh. I remember talking to someone years ago, about a visit they had to the Grand Canyon. And ever since that time, every time I've asked somebody about the Grand Canyon, they've always said the same thing. They say it silences you. Silences you. As you look out, you're humbled by the vastness of this place. And it brings you to that point of silence. Wow. And they said, and almost to a person, they said, it's a liberating experience. Being humbled is a liberating experience? Seems to be counterintuitive, but, you know, that's how I felt a couple weeks ago as I stared out the ocean, or this past week looking out at the parkway, from the parkway. It was humbling, yet oddly liberating. It was empowering, it was numinous, it was sacred, and for the fleeting moment, I was connected. Your problem is how you're going to spend this one odd and precious life you have been issued. That's it, folks. It's like my good friend Roger Daltrey used to say, "Who are you?" Okay, anyway. Are you connected? That's good. Time and time again, as I read through the Psalter, the Psalms, I'm stopped in my tracks. And it happened again recently. As I came across Psalm 139, the psalm for today, I read it just a moment ago. But something was different when I read it recently. Maybe it was a beach, maybe it was a mountain, I don't know. All I know is I was stopped cold by these words. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from far away. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and sit at the farthest limits of the earth, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. Search me, O God, and know my heart." I was silenced by these words. humbled by, awed by them. I kept thinking, I want these words to be my words. They're so deep-seated, so genuine and candid, so cathartic and liberating. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know, this is a prayer. But it's so much more than what most of us tend to think of as prayer. It is connection. You have known me. How many people do you know? How many people do you let know you? Not many, I would guess. Because it's about dropping all pretense, all deception. It's about standing before someone and saying, here I am in all my mess. That's risky. You know, maybe we don't do it because we're afraid. Because it's leaving ourselves vulnerable and exposed. Except when you do it, it's liberating. The vulnerability that comes with honesty and honesty that leads to some sort of change of direction in your life, which leads to a potential for new relationships and new paths. Right? That's liberating, but scary. Allowing oneself to be known by God is salvific. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Lead me in the way everlasting. Are you connected? Are you seeking connection? Do you not care? I don't know if you have to go to the mountains or the coast to feel this connectedness. You don't. Obviously, you don't. That's an easy fix. And there are other ways to connect. We've talked about it. Like Lectio Divina, you know, sacred reading, prayer, meditation, walking, sitting in silence. Mindfulness. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts and lead me in the way of life. Are you connected? And if not, what are you going to do to be connected? And we talk about the most important thing is to practice. To practice. I'm beginning to pull my thoughts together, which isn't easy to do. Pull my thoughts together for the fall. A lot of times pick a book and kind of work through a book together and reflect on where that leads us. And I'm considering using a book that I mentioned a few months ago by Brian McLaren. It's entitled The Great Spiritual Migration. And what he does in that book is he talks about the need to constantly move. That's kind of built into who we are as humanity. That, you know, our ancient ancestors moved out of Africa, moved across the globe. And then in our particular faith story, the Judeo-Christian tradition, we read about patriarchs, Abraham moving. We read about things like the Exodus and the exile. We read about Jesus. You remember Jesus? What did Jesus say to people? Jesus didn't come and say, okay, let's just sit right here. What did he say? Thank you. Follow me. Let's go. Let's move into life a little bit further. So we're gonna be reflecting on what this might mean to us as a community. McLaren says, it's interesting, Jesus begins with follow me and ends with go. Follow me and then go into all the world. The whole metaphor works well. And we're going to think about this fall. And over the next 8 weeks, we're going to hear more about the things that are coming up. Opportunities you're going to have to be part of classes, to be part of outreach opportunities, all sorts of things that might allow you, if we use them and we are intentional, to become connected. So this may be your first day here. You may have been here 50 years or longer. It's a new day. And I invite you to be part of it. Because if we could all somehow make these words our words, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and sail the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me fast. Wouldn't that be something? Friends, the summer's over. Just get over that. It's over. It is now time to move on. So I invite you to move on with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.